Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic. Now listen to me, I don't belong in here. This is the podcast for players and GMs who are doing campaigns. I shouldn't be here. I didn't do anything wrong.
Listen, Steve, you're here. I'm Warden Kevin, and you're not getting out. You're not getting out until you give some good advice about some good prison episodes. You hear?
You gotta believe me. I don't have any good advice. I'm innocent.
Now, we both know that's a lie. That's a damn lie.
Curses.
I was really tempted to go for the like 40s cop voice.
That's what I was hearing from you, so I started like diving into that myself.
Doing the prisoner voice. Yeah. I mean, the audience is hearing this on December 1st, but we will have recorded this still during Noirvember. So still got a little bit of that hanging on, you know?
Like you do.
I will also say, I know it's 2 weeks ago for the listeners. But we just had the first session after the scheduling episode came out, and all my players were suspiciously way more on time than they usually are. You notice that?
I didn't put that together.
Yeah. So send that out to your players. Or, you know, if you have a player who's like a tardy Tandy, I guess. I was picking those randomly out of the air. Send it on over. Be like, hey, you should listen to this. And they'll be like, oh. And you'll be like, yeah. But yeah, we did also play.
Yep.
And I think for once you're not cursing me.
I have a feeling there's some stuff that my character isn't aware of is going on that me, the player, is very suspicious is.
That's fairly true.
Yeah.
But it was pretty easy on Brad.
Yeah, easy. Yeah. What could go wrong?
So much.
So much. He is too trusting as well.
Yeah. With any luck, I don't think we're going to have a prison episode in that game.
God, I hope not. That's your Stephen King one. That'd be Shawshank Redemption.
Or The Green Mile.
Oh, yeah.
Or I think it's Desperation, but I haven't read that one yet.
And then he read that book, and then we started.
It's on the shelf behind me.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, all it takes is for you to read it, and then for you to go, oh, hey, I really want to incorporate this, and then we're screwed.
I mean, not screwed. We're gonna talk about, like, because I've done like prison-ish things, you know. I feel like I've done, at the very minimum, like escapes or like break-ins.
Yeah, we've had an NPC trapped in a cage. I've had one of my characters trapped in a box, slowly filling with acid. Or was that?
It was acid. Yeah.
Acid. Yay.
Yeah.
I believe Monster had a character was also in a cage.
Yes.
Yeah, as part of like backstory, but I don't think that was like actually in the game.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually done a proper.
Yeah, I don't think you have
prison thing.
It's hard to do, and you have to have like a really good reason for doing it.
Oh, why, Steve? That's
yeah,
one of the first things we're talking about. But I did want to go over kind of our experiences outside of that, just setting up that I haven't run anything like it. You haven't either.
Yeah, no.
I don't think either of us would necessarily rule it out, though, you know?
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, like, I know I've seen it done well in, like, film, and I can think of ways to adapt it to an RPG where it'd be interesting, but, like, I feel like you can't just be like, oh, you did this horrible thing, you got caught, you are in jail, you know, it's like,
yeah,
like, we're playing Oblivion or something like that. It's like, pay the court a fine, or...
Oh, you know? Man. Yeah, I do. I've never played Oblivion, but I know the idea.
You know the meme, yeah.
And I think you're 100% correct, and that's how a lot of GMs think, right?
Yeah.
Though we've had a very special experience with a very special GM early on in our RPing days, which for any new listeners, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, that's when we first started playing. that might not even be true. Hi, older listeners, we love and respect you as well. I'm sure a lot of people are like, these are young pups.
Yep.
But that's okay. Why don't you take it, Steve? What do you remember about our wonderful, wonderful first experience with being tossed in prison in an RP?
Well, we've heard your side of it before. We've talked about it at least a couple of times. I think maybe like three or four times.
I'll give an abridged later, but yeah.
Yeah. But essentially, one of our GMs, GMX, as we'll call him, was running a 3.5 D&D game that was supposed to be like, quote unquote, Final Fantasy. And then he never really said it, but he kind of hinted that it was like kind of War Machine-ish a little bit. They had like factions like War Machine has, which is a tabletop game.
And what he meant was it was very War Machine-ish.
Yeah, I guess it was. It was very War Machine-ish. Yeah, because like we were in like this like very religious groups like prison as our start. It's like, oh yeah, you guys just like all start here and you're all in a prison to start. And it's like some of us were like, doesn't really make any sense for us to be here. Like, why the heck are we just suddenly into prison?
Yeah, my character was his 3.5. I was a thief.
Yeah.
And the guards knew my class as a thief, I guess. And so they threw me in jail and I was like, wait, but my character is like young. His current only crime is like stealing books from the library. That's my backstory. And I can't remember what you even got for.
I don't remember because like, as I recall, I was playing like a warrior or something similar to that. I mean, not a warrior, but I think I was just playing like a fighter. But like,
yeah, you're working to Red Mage, right?
I don't think I was at that point. Because this was before Ecliptica.
I just assumed Final Fantasy, you're always working towards Red Mage, but I guess my...
Oh, yeah, no, at that point, I was thinking of it more like D&D, because it was like our first like real 3.5 game that wasn't like a starter set.
Yeah.
So I was just like, well, I'm going to be a fighter because I want to wear heavy armor. Like, that was my thought process at that point, because like we didn't have much of anything going on yet. He didn't let us have like... typical Final Fantasy stuff like materia or magic or anything like that. Like, we had none of that. It was just 3.5 with quote unquote Final Fantasy. Like, it was like one of those games where they put like another game's title on it to confuse you. You ever played like those Final Fantasy games on the Game Boy that aren't Final Fantasy games? I think they have them on the
yeah, they're the like
they're a different game. Yeah, they just titled them Final Fantasy
to like, yeah, to sell.
Yeah, to sell. It's kind of like that. It's just like, it's this Final Fantasy, quote unquote, but it's not. So, yeah, we were like stuck in the prison for some unknown reason. And it's like, you're here. And I think you were the only one that actually got given like a legitimate reason for being there. I'm sorry. I mean, he was the only one I think he actually gave a reason for. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I think the rest of you were just like, you were... talking to the rebels or something, because that was the only Final Fantasy thing I can remember. Like, there wasn't even a chocobo that I can remember.
No,
it was literally just like, oh, there's these two sides and there's like a rebellion against this religious empire. So like the most basic Final Fantasy plot, that's also the plot of a bunch of other things, was there, but that was it.
yeah, so we're trapped in this prison, and then we get like put on stage, and then he proceeds. This is all like before we have like control to like actually go anywhere, do anything. He brings us on top of a stage in front of all the other religious zealots, and proceeds to have each of our characters get whipped for some reason.
Oh, you don't remember why all this was happening? I do.
Because they're nut jobs, and they thought that we were part of the other camp that we decided to leave this one to go try and join, because this group is a bunch of assholes that just like,
I mean,
accuse people.
That's the reason in game. Do you remember out of game? There were two reasons. I remember them. They were very dumb.
I remember one is he was trying to use it as a way to try and get our characters to bond, which is a horrible, horrible way to do it. But I don't remember the other one.
The other one was to get us familiar with both sides so we'd pick one, even though, spoilers, both sides were assholes. Like, holy shit. They were just, like, we were like, why would we want to choose either of these? They both suck. Can we form our own rebellion?
It's like if you have a, like, if you want to have, like, organizations to be, like, assholes in, like, a dark setting, you basically have them have something that they do that's, like, interesting or good in one way, something that's appealing, but they're also assholes in addition to that. These were not the case. These were just, they were just assholes. There was no good side to any of them.
There are charming assholes. Like, I love a slew of characters who are just, I mean, classically Sherlock Holmes, big asshole.
Yeah.
But he has a softer side and he has his good points. And you balance those out. That's how you have asshole characters. The Doctor from Doctor Who, quite frequently an asshole. But he also has his good points and his quirky points. Like, I don't know. It's just, as a person who really, really likes well-written, effective asshole characters, like, it's insane. It maddens me anytime someone's like, oh yeah, like, they're an asshole, but, like, and I'm like, okay. It's like we were talking about last episode with the noir characters. Yeah, cool. They're an asshole. You know what else we need? Other stuff about them. Interesting stuff about them. The connection to last episode is the criminals needed to be likable. So you had criminal, mostly bad stuff, and you had other stuff making them more palatable, making them more likable, making them more three-dimensional. Spoilers. There were no three-dimensional characters aside from the player characters in that game that I can remember.
No, there was not. I can remember very little of that game other than I hated the group that we started in, or the camp. I can't remember what their organization names were, but the zealots that we started with, and then the people from the north that we were trying to go and join instead. So, like, they have to be better than these people who were assholes on the road. And then I remember us fighting a baby dragon or something, and then we're, like, trying to carry stuff back to a group to, like, sell the parts for. And it was like, oh, you can't bring all that. And I was like, well, I have a shield, so, and we have some ropes, so we'll just tie, you know, the shield to the rope and then drag the stuff on it, so we don't have, like, a wheelbarrow or anything like that. It's like, oh, that will destroy the shield. It's like, how? The shield's made of metal. How? That, like, frustrated me.
Yeah, it's...
So, I remember the frustrating parts. I don't remember anything good about that game at all.
I remember some of the non-frustrating parts, but I do mostly remember the frustrating parts. I also remember me randomly disappearing. Like, literally, like, I knew I was going to miss a session, and GMX still wanted to run it. And, like... He didn't, like, we talked about it, but, like, all that happened essentially was my character disappeared and then reappeared. Like, he did no integration like a GM should. I remember that. Anyway, this is not all going to be complaining about GMX, I promise. The other one, which I mentioned before and more recently, so I'm not going to spend time on it, is the Commies Burning Sands game, where my character specifically and alone got separated from the rest of the group and tossed in prison. Hypothetically to meet other characters, but as I said also in the past, it just didn't seem to come to much for me. So it was curious. It sidelined me for most of a first episode of a game, which, oh my god, guys, come on. The first episode of a game is critical. You gotta fucking throw those plot hooks out. You gotta have a mystery. You gotta have, like, something. Usually the first episode of the game is one of the best, hopefully. All the mysteries are still fresh. The characters still have all the okay. You know what? Whatever. I'm sorry. Different diatribe. Maybe that's what I need to do. First episode 101. God damn it. Feel like we've kind of already done that, but maybe I need to redo it.
I don't think we've, like, officially done it. Maybe we should.
Maybe we should. Anyway, so I think Steve got at a really vital thing earlier. I think not enough GMs think about why the characters are in prison. What are they doing there? He mentioned earlier, hey, often it's just, oh, they messed up. So due to realism, my favorite thing in a game, they get thrown in jail. Huzzah. And that is a thing. But
I feel like if let's say that you're playing a character who tries to steal something in town and gets caught and then gets thrown in prison. Like, if you think about it logically, it's like, what is the detriment to that character? Is it not be able to, like, do anything and the other players have to figure out a way to rescue him? I mean, maybe, but, like, the character wanted something and didn't get it. And they're likely not going to be able to get it again. Those people are going to be on guard about it. Like, chances of them attempting again is, like, pretty much zero at that point. But, like, if you want to do that and you have them in a prison, I feel like this would be a good place to have them, like, hear something, because generally if you have something going on in a town, you know, like, you might have your guards just, like, you know, like, shooting the shit and, like, talking about random things. And so, you know, turn that into people like, hey, you didn't get this thing, but here, have some plot you can tell people when you get out, when you figure out a way to get out of here, or the team busts you out or something like that. You know, give them something additional, I guess, you know?
Yeah, there should always be something, a character connection.
Yeah.
An idea, meeting someone in hint.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. It could also be part of the plot, in which case, oftentimes I feel like plot jail is like what the commie did, where he was like, oh, you need to go over here so you can meet these people. And I was like, but why? I think he might have been trying to set up like a, oh, you know, and kind of side with these people. But I was like, I don't know if that's my character.
I think if you're going to meet someone in prison, it's got, like, if you are going there to meet this person, like, you need to see a specific person, that person better be, like, very important. Like,
yeah.
Like, in your games, you have, you know, some version of Gray, a character named Gray, in pretty much all your games. I wouldn't be surprised if you had put him in prison. Like, you have to go here and, like, talk to him and or her. And because our most recent game, it's a Miss Gray, but
yeah, I was gonna say we've had various Grays,
yeah, young and old,
yeah,
poor old Gray, yeah, so like I think it'll be kind of interesting to have like a very important character like that, which is like eventually gonna become like kind of like the I guess like the guiding NPC. Like, you have to, like, go into prison, get yourself caught to talk to them, get information, and then you got to bust them out.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting. If you're going to do plot.
That's quality. Yeah. I think it also happens as a punishment, which I realized I was wrong. I have thrown a character in prison, sort of. It was actually technically in jail. They're slightly different.
Was it M?
It was M.
Oh, okay. He got
thrown in math jail for not being like, oh, I'm going to hand over my weapon like every other character and go into this area with no weapons, because I don't know, he was that insecure. Let's put it this way, I expected him to give up his weapons, he did not. It led to shenanigans, and I kind of don't regret it, but I kind of do. But in general, as a punishment for a player making like what you consider like a wrong decision or doing something bad, it's not good, because you're just throwing them into a place where there's probably like no options for RPing, so essentially like putting them in timeout in the game, and that fucking sucks.
Yeah, like if you don't have like the jail or the prison like planned out as like a thing that's going to happen, then it's just going to end up them being in like timeout in the corner.
Yeah,
basically.
And we've already kind of talked about the happenstance one, where they just, oh, due to realism and the way they've did something, they're in jail. So, yeah. And from what I can tell, this leads to two problems. The first problem is that it's frustrating. Holy shit. It's so frustrating. Both the times my characters have been in jail, it's been frustrating. Because you just can't do anything. Like I said, it's essentially the no RP box if you do it badly. So, like, yeah. And both times they were like, oh, yeah, you can look around your cell. And honestly, I would have preferred the you don't just, there's nothing. Let's move on. Like, don't give someone the option to look around if there's no way out. Like, if you can't.
Yeah.
If there's nothing there, if there's no there there, just say there's no there there. That's fine. I know we're, as GMs, we're always taught to do the stupid fucking, what is it, improv comedy thing of the yes and or whatever. But if there's nothing there, just for okay, character's peace okay. of mind.
Okay, easy, buddy.
Sorry, it's happened to me twice, okay?
So just enough. To like reiterate why that's important to not do is that if you put them into a space like a prison and then they can't go anywhere and they start trying to like find things that they can do and you start saying like, oh, you don't really find anything, but there's some straw and, you know, random other things. You're role playing that maybe there's something there. That's essentially what you're implying by doing that, which is not good because if you know that there's nothing there, then just tell them we're going to move on. You're in here for the time being.
You're
your character's bored as heck and there's no way out.
Yeah.
Just move on from that point.
Yeah. Just continue.
Yeah.
Just let them pay the gold, the Oblivion gold to pass the time. it's also isolating. Like for that entire first part of the commie session, my character was separated from every single other character. And so they were all doing stuff at like a thing with a bunch of characters. And I was like, cool, I'm over here.
Yeah.
Chilling, doing nothing. And that can definitely have character repercussions. I've calmed down. So yeah, you don't want that. As a GM, frustrating is like not a good place for players. If players are feeling frustrated about your game, you need to reassess what the players like and put more of that in your game. Or maybe, you know, it's just not the right group. So
true. I was going to say this would be something to be very difficult with a bunch of random people that you don't know. You're going to do this at like a hobby shop or something like that with a new group.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, if you're doing something at a hobby shop, that would be kind of interesting. I feel like I'd almost have to do that first. I feel like were I planning for a random group, I would essentially make sure to have a little bit of everything and then see what like works and then go from there. So, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what doesn't work, right?
Yep.
But there are ways that it can work. And I think the first way is kind of it's essentially a puzzle box. Like, I don't think a lot of GMs think about it that way, but essentially if you put them in a cell they're supposed to break out of, it's a puzzle.
Yeah.
It's a Zelda style puzzle.
It's an escape room.
It is. It literally. Yeah. And you need to be ready to have detailed enough descriptions with interesting enough, like flourishes of description to draw the character to not the most frustrating place. A couple of like false leads are fine, but like, you know, if they're on like false lead number three, like Monty Python, get on with it, you know?
Yeah. Also don't do things where it's like, cause if you're going to do a puzzle, like don't have it be based on like chance on things. So like, let's say that the guard leaves the key in your sight, from your jail cell door, but it's on a hook and you can like maybe tie some sticks together to like reach out to it and grab it while he's asleep or something like that. You know, like you've seen in, you know, cartoons and stuff before, but you make them roll to see if the stick breaks and can hold it. No. If that's the only thing they have to escape. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're going to make them try and figure out how to get it, that's one thing. That's cool. Once they figure it out, let them have it. You know, or maybe make a roll to find the stuff to make it.
Yeah. Or if you want to have some suspense, like you can definitely have like a backup, like, oh no, they drop it. And then like a rat comes along and like nudges it close enough or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Something like that.
You can have a little fun with suspense.
Or have the guard wake up snoring and
yeah.
Or something like that. And you like have to freeze or hide the thing. Yeah.
I think there are good ways of doing the puzzle box. It's not something I think I like to do, but I think there are ways, you know?
Yeah.
So given that, I do think there are good ways to plan a prison episode or a prison arc, because Prison Break movies are fucking cool. like literally a lot of them are designed for the cool factor. And true. That, however, necessitates some forethought, and usually not just a puzzle box prison, but a puzzle maze prison. You need to have a cool prison. And honestly, a cool prison should be designed like any dungeon. with its own quirks, its own bosses, its own features, its own NPCs, all that shit, man. That's how you got to think about a prison. Not as a box that they're contained in, but as a dungeon that they're trying to get out of. And I think that's just genuinely a really good way to think about it. I do think it's tough because you do have to, much like designing a dungeon, you have to have like those, okay, they didn't get that puzzle. What other ways? Also, often with prison stuff, like A Man Escaped, 1956, nice short film, actually, by Robert Bresson. That one involves a guy basically making this prison run, and he can only mess up so many times. And you kind of have to mitigate that out in an RP, because it's not going to happen. Right?
Yeah.
You also want to make sure it's not just always like, okay, now you sneak. Now you sneak. Now you sneak some more. No. You want to have something like The Great Escape, 1963, John Sturges, or Escape from New York, 1981, by John Carpenter, where there's chases and there's fights and there's like a bunch of shit going on. Like, you're dealing with like other inmates, there are trades, there's stuff for the charismatic characters to do. There's tons of stuff to do. Like, honestly, I think the coolest prison thing, although it'd be really tough because you have to be really on top of your game, is essentially to let your players figure out like a prison escape. Like, have a couple ways that it could happen, and once they start leaning one of the ways, make that like the, you know, oh, you found the only way.
It's, yeah, easy, and to like do, build it out more and like flesh it out from there. Yeah, once they've, yeah, made the choice. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that would be cool. I think that'd be so cool as a player, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I have one on here. I know you've got another recommendation on here, but I mean, you should probably know this. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stone Ocean.
True.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. Which has superpowers in it. And you're like, well, how does a person with like magical powers, you know, like how you keep them in a prison? You just make everything about the prison be supernatural and hard to get out of and fill it with people who also have powers.
You know what's cool? Magic prison.
Yep, there you go.
I mean, Harry Potter does it too. They have a part where they break in and out of a prison.
Oh, really? I haven't
seen that. Yeah, there's a bunch of magical shit. Yeah, yeah. That's the best one. Yeah, 100%. And, you know, you can have your gritty Shawshank Redemption, crawl through a mile of shit moments if you want. Keep in mind, the crawl through a mile of shit. Steve, how long did it take in that movie?
Film-wise or for the character?
Film-wise.
For him to, like, from start to finish, too?
Yep. To get just the shit part, just the escape.
Oh, just the escape. Like, a few minutes?
Yeah, it was not long.
it was not long, yeah.
That was mostly planning, and you can do that too. But that's like, you have to have a certain group, I think, for that one. I honestly would tend toward the more Escape from New York, Great Escape. A Man Escape is a good watch, too, to kind of have, like, just look at, like, the different things that can happen, and Stone Ocean as well, where you can just, like, you can do so much.
Yeah.
I feel like prisons are thought of as six stone walls. One of them has a door, one of them has a window, that's it. And there's so much more than that, you know.
Yep.
There's also interesting characters. Both guards and prisoners have personalities, hopefully, unless you're playing GMX's game. And actually, all of the stuff we've already mentioned has characters, really good characters. But there's stuff like Cool Hand Luke, 1967 by Stuart Rosenberg. We've already talked about Assault on Precinct 13, not quite a prison breakout, but kind of. 1976, John Carpenter, and The Green Mile, another Stephen King, Frank Darabont film. Those are all more character-based than escape-based. Those are more about meeting some interesting characters, finding out stuff from them, and, like, learning, essentially. And you know what? That's part of prison, too, right?
Yep.
You can learn skills. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Like, if you think about it, it's like you have a prison, right? And let's say you have 100 people in this prison. Now, are these just like regular NPCs? No, they all have a reason for being there. They all have a story, right? So these are all like defined characters, not just like some random person on the street who's a farmer, you know?
Yeah. They're wrongly accused. They murdered someone. They stole something. Like, what? These are awesome character ideas, you know?
Yep.
And you got, like, the young hotheads. You got the old, like, systematized, like, people. You got the people who know how to get shit. You got the people who just, you know, you got the people who know all the guards. Like, I don't know. So much stuff that you can do. Which brings me to what Steve kind of already hinted at. Much like a dungeon, you can also break in and out of a prison.
Yep.
Either to talk to someone, learn something, retrieve someone, retrieve something. All that shit works, right?
Yep, absolutely. I was trying to think of an example, and I can think it was another JoJo reference. I don't remember the name of the JoJo one, but it's the one with Gio Gio.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's that one guy that's in a cell, and he goes and visits him. And he like has to take something from him, yeah.
Yeah, the mafia.
Yeah, the mafia, yeah.
It's just kind of amazing. I don't know. you can also, and I would suggest handling this one with a lot of care, show flaws of the prison system, guard inequality, prison overwork, no pay, prison abuses, stuff like that. Once again, check your group, handle with care.
Yeah.
I think if you're running an effective prison game, some of that will show through, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Which actually makes me think, like, if you wanted to do something like that, that would be a good way. I mean, we talked about earlier how GMX started us in a prison. It was a bad thing. But, like, if you told your players, hey, I'm thinking about starting you guys in a prison, like, come up with a reason why your character's there, whether it's legitimate or not. You know, maybe they're falsely imprisoned. And make sure they have, like, a good desire to, like, get out. And then if you wanted to have them like have a certain type of worldview on things and you wanted to show the flaws of the prison system and things like that, maybe it's due to a like corrupt government and just kind of like trickle down into the prison system. And then you want to have that like be like, the driving force for your characters. I think that could work, but don't just like throw them in a cell and then have them like sit there and then like, bring them out and whip them, please.
Yeah.
That's not how you do that. I feel like he had good intentions for his prison thing. He just very poorly executed it.
I mean, you can have a character learn something. Once again, another handle with care type thing.
Yeah.
But putting two characters with friction into a box and being like, well, guess you better resolve your ish because you're in a box.
Yep.
That can be okay as long as you don't overdo it and make it too much of a punishment. Like, having to work together is a good way to mend fences, you know, stuff like that. I mean, sometimes you just have to throw two adolescent characters who have a little friction. One of them may have hit the other.
I was just thinking
into
this.
an alternate world of shadow where there is danger, and then force them to work together, you know, to figure out shit. That just an idea.
I knew you were just going to shove Browlin into a closet and say, deal with it. Just something along those lines.
Yeah. But I know you and Monster can handle it. That is another.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on those characters. You can also have a character learn something about themselves, another character, or as we mentioned earlier, a plot. It has to be framed properly, and you kind of have to like get the character's attention that this is like, you know, through NPC or like atmospheric description or something. Maybe they keep seeing like a glint in the wall and realize there's like a crack with enough of a hole in it to see through to the next cell. And then that starts a conversation with a character there and they learn something. Or, you know, they notice a bird land on their window outside and they go up and look and they find something in the nest. So, you know, there's ways to force it too. And that can be fine, because getting stuck on something that's pointless, as mentioned, is far too easy to do in a prison setting, right?
True.
And then, of course, my final suggestion. Look, we need to miss sessions sometimes. And sometimes you want to throw a little bit of drama in. So, you know, having a character get arrested and then having them, you know, break out either in a one-on-one session with the GM or having the characters spend like the next episode breaking them out so that then they'll be back in the next episode. I don't think these are necessarily bad things, especially if you've talked to that person and they're cool with it.
Yeah, it can often be the, your character passed out and is in a temporary coma and your characters have to drag this player around with you because they can't partake, or
you just want to turn everything into Weekend at Bernie's. You just want to turn everything into Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, well, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking of a specific reference where, like, I've heard, like, a D&D story where the DM decided to do that and have him basically just be, like, narcoleptic and pass out, and so they got a coffin to carry him in and dragged him around, like Wolfwood and whoever Wolfwood's based off of. But, yeah.
Oh, Franco Nero. Django. It's Django.
Django, there we go, yeah. Wolfwood from Trigun. I was referencing,
and Django from the original Django.
Yeah. But I mean, Weekend at Bernie's isn't a bad idea either.
Yeah. You can have a lot of fun with Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, too much fun.
Too much. Yeah. Literally multiple Steve KO'd characters have had a lot of Weekend at Bernie's fun.
True.
So,
yep.
But yeah, those are our suggestions. And we, I don't know, we might have to update if we do a prison episode in the future. I've been thinking, like, it might be neat to go over, like, start to finish, like, the planning, the execution, what happened of, like, some stuff that we've done, maybe? Just an idea.
You mean in our RPs, or
in our RPs.
Oh, okay. Like, what is an example?
So, like, if I were to do, like, the Void Assassin, if I were to be like, okay, here's what I do, like,
redo it? Or
no, to describe what I was thinking, what I had written out, try to go through kind of the beats of what happened. It was a little bit ago, so that might be the most difficult part. Might have to do some intel prior to that, and then kind of explain what choices were made or why something happened. I don't know. I thought it might be fun.
Oh yeah, I mean, definitely we could do it.
Be sure to play what you love, and until next time, may your characters do something epic, even if they're behind bars.
Now, can I get out?
No, you can't. No, well, I don't know.
I'm gonna sit here and bang my cup on the bars until you let me out, or you get tired of me.
All right, that is really annoying. Or I could take your cup away.
Damn, I can't remember the name of the Vin Diesel movie. Where he stabs a guy with a cup. I was like,
if I ever knew that movie, I've purged it from my mind.
Yeah. Something with like darkness or something in it. I can't remember.
Oh, Pitch Black?
Pitch Black. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, a good Vin Diesel movie. Hopefully no one's listening to that one. That might have lost some listeners.
Whoops.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection, or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.